I appreciate so much the invitation to come back and be with you again in a gospel meeting. I was here in 92, I think it was, and in the year 2000, and both of those have been a little while. And I know I haven't changed, and I'm sure you haven't changed either. So bear with me as I try to remember your names and who you are. I have been in some of your homes, been associated with you in the past, but I may not recognize you. And understand it's been a little while since I've been here. I'll say more at the next hour about the things that we have planned to talk about and have a list of those sermons, and we'll talk about those at the next hour. But I want us to start with the text that was read to you just a few moments ago in Acts chapter 27, beginning at verse 22. And I want us to look at those verses again, and I want us to focus on a statement that's made at the end of those. Here is in the, as you're turning there, if you want to be turning in your Bible, this is in the midst of a shipwreck. You remember as Paul's making his voyage toward Rome, that there is in the midst of turmoil on the sea, and there is the shipwreck, and it looks like at this juncture that they're going to lose the ship and every man's going to lose their life. But that's not the case. And so Paul says this. He said, "Now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of ship." Verse 23, "For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul, for you must be brought before Caesar. And indeed God has granted you and all those who sail with you.'" Now notice verse 25. "Therefore take heart, men, for," notice the phrase now, "I believe God that it shall be just as he told me." The Apostle Paul said right in the midst of all this turmoil that God came to me through the angel and told me that there will be no loss of life. Now, it looks like there's going to be. It looks like we're going to lose the ship and every life. But God said through the angel, there will be no loss of life. And he said, "I believe God that it shall be just as he told me." Here the Apostle Paul is talking about his trust in God. He's talking about his confidence in God, his dependence upon God, and his reliance upon God. He says, "I believe God that it should be just as he told me." Let me ask you a question. Do you believe God? And you say, "Well, sure, I believe in God." I didn't ask you that. That's not the question. I didn't ask you if you believe in God. I ask you, do you believe God? There is a difference in those two. Do you believe God? Paul didn't say here, "I believe in God." He said, "I believe God that it should be just as he told me." Well, let's notice another text, if you will, to see this distinction. Let's notice this time in Hebrews 11 and in verse 6. Here the Apostle Paul says, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is." Without faith, it's impossible to please God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is," number one, "and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him." To believe that he is to believe in God. I believe that he exists. I believe that he's real. I believe there is evidence for God. To believe that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him is to believe God. And what I'm suggesting to you is those are not necessarily the same thing. That it is altogether possible that I could believe in God, but I may not believe what he says. And I'll give you some evidence of that as we go a little bit further. But let's establish this contrast again. Let's go to Acts 1 and in verse 1. Here is Luke writing to Theophilus, and he said, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." What I'm learning from that text is we must accept what Jesus did. We must believe in him. Accept the miracles. He turned water to wine. Accept that. He raised the dead. Accept that. He was raised from the dead. Accept that. We must accept what he has done. But we must also accept what he taught. In other words, we must believe him. Again, those are not necessarily the same. Let's go again. Let's go to another passage here in John chapter 20. And I notice in John chapter 20, the text says that truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And, notice, believing you might have life in his name. To believe that Jesus is the Son of God is to believe in Christ. Believing involves believing Christ. Now let's go even again. And this time I want us to go to 1 John chapter 5, one last foundation passage on which we're going to build our study. This time in 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 10. And I learned something from this text about a definition of what it means to believe God. Let's watch for it.